Hello, friends.
Episode 29.
Woohoo!
Having a fine time.
Fine time. Welcome to episode 29 of Two Flat Whites podcast. I'm Laura.
And I'm Alex.
And if you're new here, go away.
This podcast is nearly as old as we are. Years and eps.
What are you talking about?
Episode 29. And you're 30. It's catching up to us.
Right.
If years were episodes.
Right. That makes sense. Anyway, I just told everyone new to go away. That's not what I wanted to say.
Yeah, you better do that again.
No, I didn't get to finish my sentence. I meant to say, if you're new here, welcome. Glad to have you.
Now, fuck off.
Go back. Go back to the start and get to know us real well.
Oh, yeah. Don't start with this.
But this is us in our prime.
You know, we shouldn't say that because some people do watch backwards, listen backwards.
Some people do listen backwards. We had a shout out to our friend Amanda who decided recently to listen backwards and thought it was great. Every time we referenced something, she had no idea what we were talking about. She found out like, the next time. Yeah,
like a little surprise.
Yeah, a nice
it's
little
like when
treat.
You look up online, like what order to watch movies in.
Yes.
Like what order should I watch the Marvel movies in?
Yes.
Which order should I listen to Two Flat Whites?
I don't know. No, in all honesty, I mean, if you're really interested in going back to the beginning, it's very rough. It's a rough time back there. We were very new at this.
And had one microphone.
We
no
did.
No boom arms.
No booms. Wait, that fly.
Thrice, four
there
times.
There is a fly that keeps flying into the window.
Then fliegen, fliegen, hinder, fliegen, fliegen.
Don't they learn anything?
I don't. They're very dumb.
Can flies learn? What do like flies?
Yes.
Do
that part I'm clear on.
What's their IQ? in relation to, because I know that your cats, right? Cats have an IQ of about a two-year-old human.
Mm.
What is a fly?
This would be great 10-minute
DNA. 3-week-old?
No, not even. Like,
what?
I don't think things that aren't. So, like, outside of mammals, some fish and some birds, I don't think anything really has any sense of, like, awareness or, like, it's pretty much just, like, instinct driving them, I think. I don't think a fly has intelligence.
Surely instinct has to account for some IQ.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know how it's derived, but I don't. Well, you couldn't sit any IQ tests.
Neither can a cat.
Sure can. Touch this. Go through this maze. Can you try and get a fly through a maze? Just fly away.
1 + 1. Meow.
Correct.
Meow. I need to stop meowing.
The cat audiences love it.
It's a meow, but it's not even a nice meow. It's like a shriek, like I'm upset.
The nice ones are prowl.
Oh, prowl.
Hear that coming from your cats all the time.
Bloody Toulouse. Marie's like, ah! That's like her meow. And Toulouse is like, prowl, prowl. And then in the morning when he's trying to wake us up, it's, I'll lean back, hang on. It's like, row, 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 row. And sometimes it's just a gargle in the back of the throat. He knows how to get us out of bed.
You definitely shouldn't get a dog. You'd just be neglected.
It barks once and I'm like, out to the streets.
Disrupting our peaceful tranquility. Get out.
I can't. Dogs barking does something to my brain. I actually have PTSD from dogs barking from when I lived in, when Nick and I lived in our previous house. It was a rental and we had problems with our neighbor's dogs barking, multiple. And we shared a wall with one of them and it drove me insane. I called the council. I was recording. Anyway, I had to record them and send them to the council.
Posted the dogs to the council. Deal with it.
Box it up. Here is my neighbor's dog. This is the one that will not stop barking. As you can see, he's quite upset.
Excuse me, Laura. I'm looking for my dog. He's gone missing. Oh, yes, I sent him to the council. Pardon?
I just posted him. I just FedExed him straight to the council quarters. Anyway.
Anyway.
Last ep was a bit of a long one. And we were just saying we need to try and keep this short. today we've got four segments and we're going to try and stick to under an hour. We'll see how we go. We've already failed at doing a 2-minute intro. So sorry about that, but you know, that's what you get. That's who
you're
we
here
are.
For the laughs.
Yeah, exactly. Love it or leave it. And that's
unsubscribe.
Writes hateful comments on TikTok. These people talk too much. That's the whole idea. Can you imagine? That's what that's the kind of thing people would comment on TikTok about a podcast. They talk too much. Like, that is the kind of shit that people say on TikTok and feel the need to like comment and then keep scrolling. It's like, you absolute fuckwit.
Triggered.
Well, people are so mean. Anyway, let's get into our first segment. It's my miserable moment / my maternity moment.
It is.
Do you want to go first? You actually have misery this week.
Yes, for a change, I've got the misery. So I went to go visit my parents this long weekend and I decided to take the train home because something good that the Victorian government's done is they've reduced the cost of trains. So now it only costs, it costs $10 to go, you know, 3 hours into the countryside.
Oh, have they reduced the cost of like all trains?
I think all V-Line trains, there's a big subsidy on them now.
Right. $10.
Yeah, $10. Yeah, and like if you have a concession, it's $5.
What? Mm. You would definitely spend more than that in petrol.
This is the thing. Like, now that's it's like, oh, it doesn't actually make sense unless you've got two or three people in the car with you. Even then,
the
like, it's
petrol.
Like you'd spend more than $30 on petrol going 3 hours out.
You might as well catch a train.
Yeah, and on the train you can, like, do stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to worry and nearly die from running over a kangaroo.
True,
sunset.
Less likely to die on the train.
So much less likely.
Yeah, but so I booked a nighttime train, and it was actually the longer train, so it took 3 hours and 40 minutes or something like that.
That is a long time.
It is, but I thought, you know what? I can edit all the podcast videos. The issue with the train being so cheap, though, is that it usually books out, but I booked the train that still had some reserved seats available. So I reserved a seat, but then I checked online before I left and all the seats were taken. So I was like, okay, it's going to be a full
packed
train.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first got on the train, I had one of those little table things, like four seats around a table to myself, which wasn't the seat that I booked, but that's the seat that I got on my ticket. And there was a woman next to me. Pretty much as soon as the train started, she left. I must have smelt bad. And I was like, okay, great. But I was like, okay, these seats will fill up because we're stopping at every stop between here and Melbourne.
Yeah.
And maybe one stop along, this woman moved into the seat across from me with her two children.
Yeah.
And she put like, I'm going to say there were four and one. She put the four-year-old straight across from me, directly in front of me, behind
How
my laptop. How dare she? What's she doing out with two children in two seats? There was
absolutely
a seat next to me.
Absolutely ludicrous.
But thankfully, no child went in the seat directly next to me.
Yep.
But the annoying thing about the four-year-old child was that he was coughing every 10 to 20 seconds for the next 3 hours.
And, like, visibly unwell.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He just kind of looked like a kid. Like, I don't know. He didn't look super sick.
Yeah.
But he was coughing a lot and not covering his mouth at all, which, if he was, you know, literally a little older, 5 or 6, you probably could have had some sort of reasoning with him. And I could have just said to him, like, hey, when you cough, just cough in your elbow, kid. Like, you're sitting directly across from me. But he's too young to do that.
And you can't, his parents there too. You can't, like, tell them what to do.
Yeah, well, I was tempted. But he's too young.
Yeah.
But I, like, definitely have sympathy for the mum with a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old on the very busy train.
Mm.
But I was also like, why did you move to the seat directly in front of me? Like, when your kid is coughing, why did you move him into a seat that's directly opposite somebody so they're just coughing on them for 3 hours? Because that wasn't her seat. She moved into it because nobody was in it.
Yeah.
So I just had to. And this kid also kept just, like, kicking me under the table or, like, putting his feet on my legs under the table. So I kept sort of, like, nudging him off. And then at one point, he just sort of started. He was playing with the stickers on the back of my laptop because the back of my laptop's facing him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whatever. But then he's like started wrapping his fingers around and touching my screen.
At that point, as a parent, you have to be like, no, darling, yes. Like, don't touch the nice man's stuff. Expensive property.
Yes.
Imagine if he was just like, nah, and like yanked it onto the floor.
Yeah, at one point I was like, is he picking the stickers on the back of my computer? Because I will destroy him.
Yeah.
But I just looked at him in his little eyes. And he, like, looked at me, and I was like, I'm not breaking eye contact first. And after a while, he looked away. But then he started doing it again and looked back at me, and I was like, this isn't becoming a game. So I was just like...
You just shook your head.
Shook my head at him. And then he kept doing it, and I was like... No. Waggled my finger at him, and then
I would have just been like, no, no, don't do that.
Yes. No, the next step was to say very audibly, don't touch other people's stuff. But then, you know... He actually stopped, so that was
so hard fine. When it's children, though.
Yeah. Again, like, he's too young to, like, you know, have an actual go at him. But also, like, dude, you got to learn at some point not to touch other people's shit. Don't put your feet on random people under the desk. And then his one-year-old brother lay down.
How dare this one-year-old.
And started just bashing his... I say one, he's probably two, actually. I'm very bad at estimating this. But he started bashing his feet on the table. And I was like...
Oh, my God.
Anyway, at that point, I got up and I went and stood down the other end of the train for 15 minutes and had some chill time. And then I came back and then I was good and then they got off at the next stop. So, yeah, I just sat there with this kid poking me and kicking me under the table for 2.5 hours around about. Oh. And then then they got off.
I would have been so annoyed.
Yeah, it wasn't that relaxing. What fun.
What fun indeed.
Take it away.
Take it away with my maternity moment. Well... There's not much to report on the maternity front. Oh, no, there is. There is. I felt baby's first kicks.
Very cute, yes.
And wowee, what a difference it has made to my general mental health.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't think that it would be such an intense shift. But I've also had like a major decrease in my pain in the last like 3 weeks, which has been really nice because I dealt with pelvic pain prior to my pregnancy and it's been getting worse throughout. And now it's just sort of like going down and it's like really nice because I didn't think I would get to experience that at all. So there's that making me feel a bit more positive. And yeah, as soon as I felt little kickies, I was like, this is incredible. Like I felt one tiny kick one day.
Yeah.
And then every day it's been getting more and more intense. And now it's just like a fiesta in there. Like it's incredible. But yeah, there's been a shift in, what did I say before to you when you arrived? The brain.
Yeah, your brain.
The baby's brain. Or my brain and the baby's brain. Because the baby's... Oh, I don't have the connection. Yeah, so I think like his... it's like his motor skills. So the muscles and the neurons, they're all sending signals to the muscles now, the brain.
Yep, to so have more coordinated, move.
Yeah, like more coordinated kicks and hand movements and like at gripping, like he'll be like gripping on the umbilical cord now to practice grip and things like that. And then they're more intrigued. Yeah. And instead of like shying away from feeling bumps to my stomach, he's more likely to go towards them. So it's just all things like that. Shifting. But yeah, it has, yeah, it made a major difference to my mental health. And I didn't think it would, but it has, because I'd been feeling very up and down. Like I said, like, I think I mentioned that last week, mm-hmm. that like, I was just having these moments of just, yeah, feeling really down and, not really knowing why. And then just having like mixed emotions and then heart, and then, you know, mixed emotions about being pregnant, being very, very happy and very grateful and feeling blessed about it and things like that. And then feeling like terrified and also just sad, but not knowing why, because there's just so much going on hormonally that it affects your brain.
Yeah.
That you can't, yeah. And then you're also trying to reconcile all these feelings. I can't remember if I said this last week or not, but you're trying to reconcile all these feelings that, you know, coming to terms with like, I'm going to be a parent and like my life's about to change and like, I want this, but like, it's going to be a big shift. So you're trying to understand all of this. And then you're trying to also reconcile these feelings in your head and you feel guilty for feeling sad and upset because of your current state, but you also don't look pregnant. You can't feel anything. Mm. It's just like, you know that you are. Mm. But you can't feel, other than like, yeah, other changes happening in your body, you can't really physically see that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to come to terms with, like, sorting these feelings out, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, without, I guess, being able to feel your baby.
Mm. Yeah. Like, it's much more tangible because it's like.
Yeah. And then it's like, and then you feel them kick and you're like, oh, yeah, there's a little person in there and they're like really alive. And now I look really pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just, yeah, I feel like it's all just come full circle a little bit. And I'm feeling so much clarity and I'm feeling so happy. And I like haven't really had any moments of feeling down. I've just been like feeling really positive and excited and
good.
Just nice. Yes. Nice. I don't know if it'll last forever, but for now, I'm just enjoying the days as they come. And I'm just so like grateful that everything's just like going smoothly for me right now. Because, you know, it can be really tough for a lot of people. And I'm really lucky that things are just going well for me. For once, something medically going well.
You're like, what's happening?
I don't know. <good. laughs> I'm like literally waiting for the ceiling to fall down on me, but it's not so far. Soon there will be a small boy here.
Yes.
Yes.
When's the reshuffle happening?
The reshuffle of the house. Yeah, it has to happen before Nick has surgery on his finger. So like probably early December, I reckon. A couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we can do a moving party.
Moving party. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm getting a bit nervous because the time, like there's only 4 months to go now.
Yeah.
And you think you have all this time, but the weeks are just flying.
Yeah.
I feel like before we told anyone that we were having a baby, those first sort of, between us finding out week four and week 12, 13, when we told everybody, those weeks were like really long.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of waiting.
Yeah.
You're waiting to see whether it's like a viable pregnancy. You're like nervous to find results of so many things to be like, okay, yes, like we're carrying on with this pregnancy kind of thing. You also haven't told everybody. Mm. You're like telling people in dribs and drabs, but you haven't announced anything. And then as soon as we announced it, I feel like the last 7 weeks, like I'm 21 weeks pregnant now, which blows my mind. There's only 19 weeks to go. I'm over halfway.
Snowballing down.
And it's like before the end.
Yeah.
19 weeks until the end. The end of my sentence.
Very good.
And I'm like, there's actually not that much time left. I really need to do things. Yeah. I started like getting rid of clothes. I started throwing clothes around the place. Started like, culling stuff and organizing cupboards and things like that.
Nesting.
Kind of. I've been like procrastinating a lot and just wandering around the house and staring at all the things I need to do rather than doing them. But I feel like that's just the first step.
Relatable content.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all. That's all. Feeling good. Feeling great. Something positive from me for once.
Nice. Yes. I'm glad.
Woohoo.
You look fresh.
Fresh as a daisy?
Mm.
Ah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Would you rather?
Would you rather?
Why have we chosen that?
Why did I think of a walrus when I did that?
Why did you think of a
walrus?
It's the would you rather roll. Would you?
I got a new tongue twister. I said walrus as well.
Walrus.
Would you rather walrus?
Oh, very posh.
That's me. Yeah.
It's would you rather time. I have one for you.
Convenient. I also have one for you.
Fancy that.
Are you first?
It's almost like we planned this.
Hardly.
I'm going first.
Okay.
Would you rather? Okay, this is hard.
I probably just do it. Here you go, yes.
Would you rather
give
up the internet forever?
Topical.
Or lose a limb?
My first instinct was internet forever because I'd just adapt. But then it's like, but I'd also just adapt to losing a limb, wouldn't I? Do I get to choose the limb?
Yep.
If
one
it was
of the
any
four.
Any of my limbs, it would be my left leg.
Yeah.
Useless.
It's walking's just my least pretty. Favorite.
Walking's pretty. Yeah. I would. I give up the internet.
Would you?
I think I'd adapt
to no internet.
Yeah, but then I can't work from home or anything. Wait, I can't work at all.
The thing that you why? No, you.
Well, how would I? What would I work as? I'd have to work as something work without something any else. Online booking yeah. or no emails.
A gardener.
Have to call me. Yeah, but you can only call. You can't do it on. Everyone does everything online.
Yeah.
I say internet now, but in the next like 10 years, everything might be so wrapped up in the internet.
Well, it already is. Like we just had an Optus, one of our major providers in Australia, mobile service providers, went down for like 5 hours
yeah.
yesterday.
Yep.
And it like wrecked so many businesses. Like people lost money. People like couldn't call 000. Like it was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's like that one thing and us having a day of us not being able to communicate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like everyone has to adapt and then move on. You just be you disconnected.
Right. Well, the thing that intrigues me so much about this question is that I'm actually considering giving up a limb.
Yeah, true.
Rather than like, the internet. I don't know what my I don't know what my choice is, but the fact that it crosses my mind to be like, yep, take my arm.
Mm. Would you do an arm?
No, I think I'd do a leg. I mean, prosthetics are pretty good these days.
I know. Look, I was trying to rationalize this. Like, you know, give me the internet, take my left leg. Prosthetics are pretty good. And yeah, they'll just continue to get better. This is also what I was thinking as well. It's like prosthetic legs, I think, are a lot easier to deal with than prosthetic arms. Like they can still, like once you get used to walking on them. But at the same time, like you don't need a prosthetic arm. Like you can get up and do everything and not have to attach.
That's exactly right.
But I think I would, like I want to be able to hug people with two arms. I want to be able to like pick things up. I want to be able to like work out. I want to play video games. I mean, there are adaptive controllers and stuff.
Your hands, you can't, like, your hands are so integral.
Yeah. Want to play the piano? Yeah. No, it'd have to be a leg, but.
I'm just thinking about all the things that you couldn't have if you didn't have the internet. Like, it's not just you can't surf the web. It's like your phone's limited to calls only, pretty much.
Yeah.
Calls and texts. You wouldn't be able to watch Netflix or anything like that. You could only watch TV, like free-to-air TV.
Yeah, true.
You would probably have no use for a laptop. You could. I mean, you wouldn't be able to send any. Like, you can't even send a file. You can't send an email. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
now you get me thinking about, like, where would I put all my time if I didn't have the internet, including any streaming services and stuff?
How would you be contactable? Like, you'd basically be living life as, I mean, a lot of elderly people don't have any internet.
Yeah.
And they do fine. But it's like, how do you get, like, important things in the mail and by phone? You just have to adapt.
Yeah. Imagine just even, like, making payments, doing online banking. You have to call up your bank and do it through the phone.
Or go to the bank.
Or go to the bank. That's if crazy. You want it, you I'm could, very you, used to post-COVID world where I don't have to leave the house very much.
Right? You wouldn't be able to buy anything online ever again. Even like buying a ticket to something. You wouldn't be able to buy a ticket. You'd have to call up.
Which some things wouldn't have that as an option.
No.
Yeah. Can you get your friends to do things for you?
But losing a limb, like...
Yeah, literally cutting off part of you.
When I just... It's so vivid for me because when I was in... when I did my stint in rehab last year for like my pain rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Like I was in the hospital, like pretty much everyone except for me had some sort of like injury, some sort of trauma, some sort of missing part of their body that they were dealing with. And I was with them all in the gym. And like some of those people had been in there for nearly a year just trying to get like rehabilitated like to using their new limb and like going through all the things that happen like infection and this and that and it'd be so hard.
Yeah.
But it's like once you get over that, would it be fine?
Is I just think about like getting up and go to the toilet in the middle of the night and it's like, do I have to get on crutches or do I have to hop my way to the bathroom?
I know. Like you would have to give up the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I would.
Yeah. And just live that life.
You'd probably be a lot freaking happier.
That
without
probably.
Social media and like without everything, like without the world at your literal fingertips.
Mm. Yep.
I saw this meme the other day that was like, wakes up at 4 a.m. can't sleep. I know. I'll grab this tiny little brick that has access to every piece of information in the whole world at my very fingertips, and I'll see if that lulls me back to sleep.
Yes.
never works. Anyway, what's your would you rather?
Would you rather never watch Lord of the Rings again?
Yeah. Oh.
Or never eat pasta again?
Oh, my God.
This is worse than the first one.
Do I have the option of giving up a limb?
Take both my legs. I can recover watching Lord of the Rings, yes, and eating pasta.
Take every limb. Far out. How many times have I seen Lord of the Rings?
You could just watch it in your memory.
Yeah. Could I just go by my memory now?
Mm. It also I've means eaten... if there's any more movies that ever come out and you can't watch them.
Oh, so like anything to do with the Lord of the Rings. Mm. What do you call it? World.
Yeah. Middle Earth movies.
Or TV shows.
Well, I let you have Rings of Power. Yeah, you can just watch Rings of Power. Sad consolation prize.
How many times have I eaten pasta? Probably once a week at least for my entire life.
Yes.
How many weeks have I been alive?
Still not sick of it.
50 times 30.
52. I'm 30.
Yeah, but let's just round it off at 50 for the weeks I didn't eat pasta.
1,500, is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
So I've eaten pasta plenty of times.
You have.
But I've only watched all of the Lord of the Rings maybe like 7 times, eight times maybe.
Many more years to come.
Oh, my God.
Because pasta includes lasagna.
I think I'd have to give up Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
I think there's no other way around it. You're asking an Italian person to give up pasta. Like, it's like asking a fly to give up vomit.
Asking a fly to give up bashing its face
into my windows.
It's like if you asked me to give up pretzels, I'd kill you.
A dung beetle to give up dung. You could go on. A duck to give up water.
Duck to give up.
I think I'd give up Lord of the Rings.
Mm. Disgusting.
I think. I don't know. Watch
Harry Potter?
I guess so.
Mm.
I'll watch I can just watch Lord of the Rings, like things that are like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure people have made things that are supposed to be very, very, like a copy of Lord of the Rings. I could just watch that.
Never as satisfying. Yeah, you can have the Polish version of Lord of the Rings. You've seen those memes.
There's cartoon versions.
Yes.
You can't watch those.
Yeah, you can have the cartoon version. I don't care.
So I just can't watch the movies.
You can't watch the proper movies, the live action movies.
Yeah. I can deal with that.
I feel like it would almost be worse, though. It's like watching the cartoon version being like, it's just not the same. It's not as good.
Yeah. What would you pick?
I also really like pasta. And I have seen Lord of the Rings enough that, like, would I just... But the idea of never watching it again is very sad.
You could read the books.
I could read the books. Not as good. Controversial. Yeah, I think I'd go with Lord of the Rings too, because there's so many types of really good pasta.
Exactly.
Mm.
When you said lasagna, that tipped me over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't give up lasagna.
Yeah. Mm.
No way. My nonna makes the best lasagna on the planet. There's just no way I could give it up.
Yeah, never having nonna's lasagna again.
No.
Mm.
I'd rather die.
Yeah. What would you rather? Never have nonna's lasagna again or death?
Take all my limbs and death. All right.
What's your little tack on?
I have a little tack on would you rather
that
I just stumbled upon. I honestly don't know what I would pick, but would you rather look like a fish or smell like a fish?
But... Like a fish with legs, or am I just like flopping on the ground, or do I just look like a fish, but I actually can still do everything?
I'm imagining a person with a fish face.
Okay.
So look like a fish forever, mm-hmm. or smell like a fish forever.
Oh, I hate fish.
No, I know what I would pick. You hate fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd choose smell like a fish, but I hate the smell of fish.
Really?
Are you going to say look like a fish?
I would choose it to look like a fish.
Mm.
I'd be famous. Like, you would be famous and you wouldn't stink. You'd just be like, yep, I'm the fish woman.
I'm the fish woman. Give me some bread.
You would just be like, you would be a world wonder.
A freak.
You'd be a freak, but you'd be a very famous freak. You'd probably get heaps of money. They'd probably
endorsing fish flakes.
Endorsing,
fish flakes. The cats would try and eat you.
No, no, they would not. They wouldn't try to eat a fish bigger than them.
They're like, there's a fish on mother's head. I best eat it off.
Wakes up in the morning, half your face gone. Well, I didn't feel that because fish can't feel anything. So I guess it doesn't matter. I wonder if your face would grow back. No.
Why? Because of the rule that you have to look like a fish. So if you flay yourself, it just comes back.
I'm just thinking out loud. Who knows?
God.
Okay. Well, you stink for eternity.
Yes.
And you hate the smell. Fish. It'd be torture. At least you get used to how you look.
I don't know about that logic. You'd get used to looking like a fish, but you wouldn't get used to smelling like a fish.
Every single time.
You'd stink
time,
for all eternity. You'd look like a fish.
No one would want to be around
Nemo
you.
Nemo would not kiss your mouth.
You'd have no friends. Yes, he would. He'd get used to it.
Goes in for a peck and you're like, oh.
Glunk. Sorry. My little fishy teeth got in the way. Alex just motioned to fellatio. Fish fellatio.
Fish fellatio.
You would get, you every time you meet, no one would be your friend.
Does your head face straight up like a fish?
Sticking out the base of your neck.
You don't have a neck, it's just part of it.
Well, it doesn't matter. Because at least I would have friends. No one would be your friend. Because you stink.
I just don't know if you would.
I would. I'd be famous. I'm going to be famous. I'd be a one-of-a-kind human on the planet. They'd put me. They'd make films about me and documentaries.
They would make films about you. Yeah, it would be nice to have that money instead of just like poor and smelling like fish.
You would just be lonely, stinky, and ugly. You're not ugly.
You're like me as a fish, still better looking than you. This segment is over.
I mean, to be honest with you, looks are all personal preference. Smells are universally bad. Can you imagine how many people would
I'd be very popular with your cats.
Well, yeah, I guess.
The allergic to cat boy would be very popular with cats, smelling like fish.
The only place you would fit in is at sea.
At least if I...
Or like at a fish yard because you'd blend in with the smell.
And get gutted. Oh, right. I was thinking if you went to a fish yard.
If I went there, I'd be popular. They'd be like, wow, can't catch her. Wow, she's got legs.
Trying to throw nets on your ears. Okay, this is over.
This is definitely over. I didn't think we'd even discuss this. I just liked how the question sounded.
We should just delete both of ours and just go with that.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
Time for our newest segment. Is this a stupid question? I actually don't think this one's a stupid question.
Not really, because I don't think a lot of people know the answer. It's not like one of those things that you're embarrassed to not know. It's like, as we're about to find out, no one really knows the answer for sure yet.
Exactly. This came to my mind when I was sitting on the toilet and I did the thing that I was doing.
Did you wipe standing up or sitting down?
What? Did I wipe what?
Standing up or sitting down. Sorry, go on.
Anyway, the question is, why are yawns contagious? Yes. And I have before I looked into this, I had no clue.
Mm.
And it's always baffled me that that is something that you can almost always do to someone. Like you can always yawn and like you can almost stop it. You can always guarantee.
Oh, God.
You can always guarantee that they'll yawn back.
Isn't it funny?
It's so funny.
Like I was doing that as a joke and then I really yawned because you actually really yawned.
You made me yawn properly. Mm.
Because you're so boring.
I'm so boring. So yes, I was sitting on the toilet the other day and I yawned and I was like, there's no one to yawn back.
Oh, sad.
I wonder why
Have you ever yawned at the cats?
Have I ever yawned at the cats?
Yes, at them.
No, I haven't yawned at them. But when they yawn, it kind of makes me yawn. Anyway, you explain why we yawn in the first place.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Please.
I will do that for you, Ladu. All right. So firstly, a yawn. This is from a PubMed article, if you needed a scientific resource to tell you what a yawn is. A yawn is characterized by the opening up of the mouth, which is accompanied by a long inspiration with a brief interruption of ventilation and followed by a short expiration.
Pause.
Now I want to yawn again.
Don't make me yawn.
All right. So why do we yawn? Surprisingly, it seems like science hasn't actually reached a consensus as to why we do yawn yet, but there's some pretty...
Really?
Yeah, but there's some pretty solid...
I thought we knew why we yawned.
No one... Well, apparently it's not like a full-on, like, absolutely yes, but right. There's some good evidence toward it now. Because, like, when I was growing up, I feel like I heard the theory that we yawn to get more oxygen to the brain.
Yes.
That's pretty much been debunked because apparently they've moved on from this because they found that people didn't yawn more when breathing in high concentrations of carbon dioxide.
Right.
So that's not the top theory anymore. Can't trust what we learned as
I had no idea.
There you go. Because, yeah, it was like, oh, you're tired, so you're not breathing as much or something. Your body needs more oxygen because you haven't slept enough.
Yeah, I thought it was because when you get tired and, like, you enter, like, because when you sleep, you don't breathe as much or you breathe much slower. So it's like your body starts to do that early before you've fallen asleep, but you're still awake and you need more oxygen than you would if you were asleep.
I've yawned all day.
I'm not going to yawn.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, so some recent research indicates that it might have important physiological or social functions, not just showing that we're tired to other people.
Right.
So one theory is that when you yawn, our face and neck muscles move, which may stimulate the carotid artery, which increases heart rate and releases hormones such as adenosine to help us keep awake and alert.
Right.
Right? Which kind of makes sense. So that your body's like, you're tired, wake up. This sounds kind of weird, but it's also theorized that yawning might directly influence the brain by moving brain fluid away from a resting network into a more active state. So it's like literally moving brain fluid. Maybe. And apparently the electric conductiveness of the skin increases while we're yawning as well, which is similar to what happens after we consume caffeine.
Right.
A second theory is that yawning cools down the brain, which assists in brain thermoregulation. Firstly, taking a deep breath of air helps cool you down, pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. But also, when our facial muscles move and contract during a yawn, it increases blood flow to the face, which is where heat can dissipate easier.
Yeah.
So a study on parakeets supports this theory, where they found that these parakeets yawned more as ambient heat increased. And in a study with humans, researchers placed either a warm pack or an ice pack on participants' foreheads. I'm pointing to my neck.
Foreheads.
In a study on humans, researchers placed either a warm or ice pack on participants' foreheads while they watched videos of people yawning. And those with a warm pack yawned more in response to the videos, while those with an ice pack yawned less. Some evidence for this was also seen in rats where cortical temperatures were monitored and significantly raised until the onset of a yawn. And then following a yawn, there was a significant fall and return to baseline in the 3 minutes afterwards. There's also evidence that after you've been in heat stress or hypothermia, you yawn more as well to like try and regulate back to the state. The third theory is that contagious yawning is linked to empathy, which I will leave for you.
Yes. So why are yawns contagious? So even if you're not bored or tired, if you see someone else yawn, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to yawn too. So why does this happen? The first bit of info I'll read is from risescience.com. So the exact science behind contagious yawning is not fully known, but neuroscientists suspect the yawn contagion is a marker of social empathy. So mirror neurons in the brain are thought to be the mechanism behind contagious yawning, and these neurons match our actions to the people around us. So yeah, they think that yawning could just be like a social thing, I guess, as you were saying. It's like a social cue to let other people know where we're at, like I am tired, right?
Okay.
A recent study noted that the yawn contagion is higher for strong social bonds, so like friends or family, than weak ones. Think like acquaintances or strangers. So you're more likely to catch a yawn off someone you're really close with than someone you're not. Mm-hmm. But this phenomenon isn't just restricted to humans. Some non-human primates also experience it. So bonobos, which is a great ape species, and chimpanzees have also displayed contagious yawning, which is just wild. So it's obviously linked to, yes, social beings.
It's an evolutionary thing because the things that are closer related to us also do it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's definitely like, yeah, an evolutionary thing because it's like, anyway, I'll keep reading. Also, women are more likely to experience contagious yawning than men because it is thought that women are on average more empathetic.
That checks out. Does that mean that sociopaths don't yawn?
I don't know about sociopaths, but I did read that if you are schizophrenic or have autism, you are much likely to have contagious yawns. Much less likely to have contagious yawns.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess if you lack empathy or lack social awareness in a way or aren't in touch with reality in that way, you're much less likely to contagious yawn. Moving on to science.org, there's an interview with this evolutionary biologist called Andrew Gallup. And he is interviewed in this article I read, and he says that contagious yawns have only been documented in highly social species, humans included. There is also a wide variability in the response among individuals. So some people are really susceptible to it and some people are not. Mm. Contagious yawning may have evolved to synchronize group behavior. Yawns often cluster during particular times of day that coincide with transitions and activity. It also may have evolved to increase vigilance within a group. So the basic rationale is that yawning is an indicator that one individual is tired, and then it alerts another person as to realizing that you're tired and to pick up the slack. And then if the whole group starts contagious yawning, it's like, oh, we're all tired. We're all like, you're yawning again. Oh
God, I'm just so empathetic.
Stop being so empathetic.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it says the spreading throughout the group of contagious yawns might then increase the vigilance of the entire group. So if the theory's right about the yawn waking you up, cooling you down, increasing, I guess, vigilance in your brain and things like that, then if one person does it because they're getting tired, then it wakes the whole group up. That makes sense
for people staying alive.
Yeah, exactly. Evolution. So that's why I was kind of saying before, like, nowadays, we don't need that kind of social system to survive. But back then, probably would have been quite handy. And then on another website, pbs.org, there's an interview with James Giordano, a neuroethicist and neuroscientist at Georgetown University. He talks more into social bonds and behaviors. So the likelihood of yawning increases sixfold, according to one study, after you see someone else yawn.
Yeah, right.
You're six times more likely to yawn yourself. As for yawn contagion, Giordano said it may be related to a phenomenon called social mirroring, where organisms imitate the actions of others. So other behaviors fall into this category as well, like scratching, crossing your legs and laughing.
Yeah.
He said that this behavior could also be linked to the mirror neurons in the brain. And what these neurons are involved in is matching what we sense and feel to the way we move. And social bonds too may be reinforced by yawning and other forms of imitative behavior. Another doctor called he's a neurologist, called Thomas Scammell said in this article. So he uses the example, if someone flashes you a nice friendly smile without even thinking about it, you're likely to smile back. Mm. It's a form of social communication and appears that people who are more empathetic are more likely to have this social mirroring. And this guy studies at Harvard Medical School and he studies sleep. So a wide range of different experts here weighing in, but it seems to be... The consensus is that it's evolutionary, social based, empathy based,
and survival
based.
Yeah,
but we don't really need that anymore.
Not so much. But I guess if you're all driving in a car together and you're all tired, you yawn maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't veer off the road because you fall asleep or drive on the wrong side of the road on the way back from Adelaide.
Yeah, maybe it's just a really clever way that evolution has built us to just literally let other people know, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like, talking about the yawn, not the contagious part, but, like, the yawn is, like, I'm tired. If I haven't told you, my body's going to tell you whether I can help it or not.
Yeah.
So, like, you need to pick up the slack because I can't fend off the cougars in the night.
How wild that our...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that person's meant to be standing sentinel.
Standing guard for the night. Yeah, yeah, and, like, he's yawning. Swap him out. But he's like, no, I'm fine, guys. Kronk. I'm
fine.
Kronk is fine.
Yeah.
Kronk is not fine.
Wrong leper. Isn't wrong it funny leper. That bodies do all these things that, like, keep us alive, like, serve these important functions?
Yeah.
We have to, like, study to figure out what they're actually doing because we don't know. Exactly.
Because we don't know and we don't need it anymore. But, like, I wonder if back... In, you know, when we were hunter-gatherers, whether we knew back then, like whether we just knew and it was more clear to us why our bodies did these things because they actually not served more of a purpose. I guess they served more of a purpose, but they were so much more prevalent and they were actually needed for our survival.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's fascinating to me that we have this inbuilt in us, in our bodies, because evolution put it in there. It's like we adapted in that way because we needed it to survive and we still have it now.
Yeah.
But we can't help experience it. It's kind of like hiccups. Hiccups are a similar thing.
We do hiccups next.
We could do hiccups next. They still don't know why we hiccup.
Yeah, right.
Like they still don't know what the purpose of it is. I'm feeling like I read something about us used to having, we used to have an extra organ that we don't have anymore that hiccups were connected to? Or am I just thinking about how you don't really need your kidneys?
Your kidneys?
Kidney? Is it kidney? No, spleen. Spleen. Spleen.
You don't really need your kidneys. What, to make urine?
Don't take medical advice from me. That's the lesson that
we... Do you really need your lungs? Like, if you think about...
Does anybody really need a brain? I don't think so.
Lucky.
Anyway, well, that was intriguing.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
I'm glad I know that now.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're better off knowing that too. And if that was helpful for you, then you're welcome.
And if you're a neuroscience and we got something wrong, please let us know in an aggressive TikTok comment.
Yeah. Please let us know aggressively how stupid we are. And ugly.
We used real scientific articles this time.
And
some of them.
You know what? I looked, I went on 3 or 4 or 5 different websites to make sure I was getting all the right info. Because I'm like, I used to research things real in depth.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we kind of fell off in the new format.
It's like, it's just a 10-minute DNM.
It's a 10-minute DNM. Keep it quick. We don't need that much info, but it didn't make me cross-reference as much. Yeah. And I'm like, no, we need to. We're spreading misinformation.
Teehee. Links in the show notes, as always.
Yes. All right. Let's move on.
Now it's time for How Do You Do with Deiro and Ledoux.
This week, we're talking about mouths.
Yes. How do you mouth?
How do you mouth?
Badly.
Such all right. a shame. Okay, you go first.
So, when you eat ice cream, and I mean out of a tub or let's say a Magnum, an ice cream on a stick.
All right. What about in a cone, like from an ice cream shop?
Not that. Okay, so you're at home. You've got ice cream in the fridge. That's my
favorite way to eat ice cream.
Okay. Well, this is not in the question.
Okay.
So, you open the fridge, you open the freezer, you pull out your ice cream. Do you immediately eat it or do you let it go a bit soft?
What? What's the point? Yeah, no, I just eat it.
No, I hate that. Straight out of the freezer ice cream, I'm like, that is way too hard.
But it melts.
Needs to be slightly, it doesn't, not fast enough. I like it to be like, so I can dig into it. Like when you get one from an ice cream shop, I feel like they keep it at the perfect temperature.
They do.
And you can kind of just go for it. I want to replicate that experience at home.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
I let them all go soft. My whole family's just like, no time, ho into the ice cream. And I'm like, guys,
I do get,
give it a minute.
Yeah, I do get kind of annoyed when I, like, haven't taken the ice cream punnet out of the freezer, like, a couple of minutes before I start scooping.
Yeah.
Because it's too hard to scoop.
It's too hard to scoop.
It's too hard to scoop.
When you're having to hack into it to get it out, I'm like, that's not ready to eat. It
you're
needs
right.
some time.
You are right. Maybe I should be leaving my ice cream.
Should. Then the issue is it's like tea, and sometimes I'm like, I'm going to leave this vegan Magnum to just... Plus, vegan ice cream as well stays harder for longer.
It does stay harder for longer.
Yeah.
Keeps its structural integrity.
Yes. That I don't want it to. And then I'm like, I'll come back to it. Then sometimes I'm like, oop, I left it too long, and you bite into the Magnum, and it's like... like. But yeah, same with biting into an ice cream, like a Magnum. It's like, I don't want to... I hate that feeling of like hard ice cream on your teeth. So, yeah. Nine nunker.
I don't leave it, but... maybe now I will, and I'll have a much more enjoyable experience.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay. My question for you is, when you brush your teeth, do you rinse your mouth out after you finish brushing, or do you just spit and get on with your life? Spit and go.
Quick. What is it? Suck and duck? Suck and... Anyway. My first reaction was that I don't rinse my mouth, but then I realize I always have a drink of water afterwards. So it's not that I don't rinse, I just have a drink.
You don't rinse your mouth.
No, I spit it all out. And I do quite a good job of spitting it all out. I do a thorough job. Yeah, and then I just have a drink.
Right.
Swallow the excess.
That's interesting. I have always rinsed my mouth out.
There you go.
Always.
Like just put your head in the tap and...
No. I use my hands.
Oh.
I collect water in my hands and I take a drink.
Cave woman.
Like a cave person, yep.
Yep.
And at least twice. I rinse my mouth out twice. Yep. Yeah. Twice. And then I used to do a third and have a drink.
Ah.
But now I don't do that anymore.
Hmm. Interesting.
I read that, you're not really supposed to rinse it out. You're supposed to just leave the toothpaste on there. It's like better for your teeth to have some like residue on there because it's like more fluoride and stuff.
Yep.
But then, you know, when I fell pregnant, I was like, am I allowed to be having fluoride in my toothpaste? Like, is it safe? And apparently it is safe as long as you don't swallow it. And then I'm like, well.
I hate when they say that because you're going to swallow
something. You're
going
to swallow it because it's like, well, it's not safe to put on your teeth at all then. Because some of it's going in your mouth. Like some of it's going to be swallowed whether you like it or not. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
So I've stopped doing the drink at the end.
Just the spit.
Just the spit and I rinse twice.
Gurgle, not guzzle.
Gurgle, not. No. And I never. Do you gargle?
No, I used to actually use mouthwash and gargle, but I've never used mouthwash
anymore. I've never used mouthwash, as a regular thing.
Yeah, no. Unless I've
had a swig.
Had a late night somewhere and I'm not going home and I was like, do you have mouthwash anymore? But that's been a long time. I do sometimes, like, if, you get some, like, toothpaste residue around the lips, I just, wet my hand and go, whoa.
Wow, so different.
Yes.
What do you do? Do you spit and go or rinse and dash?
Yeah, I guess.
Let us know. Well, that was short but sweet. We've come to the end of another joyous episode. Episode 29 in the bank.
The penultimate episode of season 4.
Next fortnight will be our final episode for the week, episode 30. We're finishing on a nice round for the week. Last episode for the year.
Yes.
We're finishing
It'll also be the last one for the week.
And the week, yes.
Yeah.
Jeepers, the brain. what am I talking about? We're finishing on a nice round number.
Yes,
isn't
we
that
are.
So very satisfying? Yes.
Do we wear Christmas hats again?
Brings me great joy. Oh, yeah. We should do something Christmas themed.
Yeah. Christmas themed Reddits again?
Why not?
Yes.
Why not? Surely there's been some from last year's Christmas horrors.
Yes.
Yes, as always, if you like what you hear, don't forget to share with your friends and family. You can share our pod. You can share our social media stuff, our posts. You can send us a message and like our shit. Anything you can do to help us out and reach more people is greatly appreciated. And as always, thank you for donating if you have. I don't think we've had any in the last fortnight, but if you're thinking about it.
Come on, guys, it's been a whole fortnight.
If you're thinking about it, thank you in advance. And if you have shared our stuff and liked and interacted with us in the last fortnight, thank you. It really means a lot to us. And yeah, we hope you're enjoying season 4 of Two Flat Whites podcast.
Yes.
One more to go.
Just one more of season 4, then 4 to the floor.
I was sure. That's all. There isn't any more.
Very nice.
And yeah, one more for you next fortnight and then we'll see you in the new year. We might do something in the new year. We're not sure. It depends on how pregnant I am.
I know
I'll be very pregnant, but I'll have to see how I feel.
Yes.
Don't miss us too much.
think we should smash out a 20-episode season starting the first week of January. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
All right. Well, until next fortnight, we will see you soon. And don't forget,
siesta forever.
Keep it real. Keep it free.
Keep it safe.
Keep it safe. Keep it safe. Keep it secret. Keep it safe. I'll be back in 17 years. Good old Gandalf. Back, Frodo. Keep it safe. It's no pressure. Poor Frodo. 17 years of like, when's this guy coming back?
Yes, something very important just happened. I'll get right back to you.
A lifetime later. Anyway, goodbye, everyone.
Cheers.